Hi there.
Hello, landlubbers.
Welcome to the Debrief Podcast. Podcast to you on a boat.
It's live on a boat.
Imagine if we were on a boat.
We're not.
I think in a year's time, if we're not on a boat, then this wasn't a success.
No, and that will be the marker, everyone.
And I'm talking like dinghy.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh.
We are 1 year old.
Oh, that's great. I wish I'd have known because I haven't prepared anything.
Neither have I.
Okay.
And that is very much in the keeping of this podcast.
Yes.
And I hope we'll continue on. I've eaten a cake of my own.
Happy birthday to you.
It's such a bad song, one that gets sung so often.
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
It lasts for so long and it's unbearable.
What a nice time we've had.
We've had the best time. Got to stick in there because we've got to be on a boat in a year.
Yes, we have to really hustle.
There's loads to do. But yeah, genuinely, thank you so much for sticking with us.
Yeah.
People who've stuck it out from the very beginning, thank you. Thank you, newcomers. If this is your first ever day, welcome.
Hello.
There's loads more in the back if you want to go and get something out the
get
back.
Get up our backside.
There's loads out
Climb
there.
In
loads
there.
Of things to learn. It's been a real pleasure.
I liked the self-care one where Tom thought it was moisturising.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Self-care really has made a difference. I was telling someone the other day about the self-care one that it's all, I was like trying to sum up in a sentence and I was like, it's just about all those tiny little things that you do for yourself, making them as regular as brushing your teeth. Because in the same way that we're all like, oh, I haven't had a vegetable in days, you would never say to someone, I haven't brushed my teeth in 2 weeks.
everyone
would be like, That's awful.
Disgusting.
That's disgusting. So we brag about like our lack of sleep and, you know, not eating well and whatever, but we would never, you just got to move everything up to brushing your teeth level.
One of my favourite ones, which I think shouldn't have been so good,
yeah,
because we ended up going hysterical halfway through and we couldn't stop laughing, was how to write a truly excellent CV and be amazing at job interviews. Now that sounds like too niche and specific, and if you're like, oh, I'm not a degree as you want, genuinely, we lost our shit.
I really laughed.
Like, halfway through that one. We really were laughing and that was really fun.
I really loved the tidying one, the Marie Kondo episode.
Yes.
Where you had a revelation in
about
real time.
About my Buddha head.
About your Buddha head in real time.
Yes. That was really
I really
powerful.
Loved that. Tom, have you got a favourite one?
Well, obviously, Hasplant is legendary. I really like Life Hacks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was useful.
Yeah?
I've genuinely learnt so much.
Have you?
Yeah.
Really
and improved myself as a person.
thank you so much.
That's all we need, isn't it?
What we're saying is happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And what adult thing have you done?
Yeah. Mine is that I have been to the hairdressers for the first time in a year.
Well done.
Thank you.
I can't remember the last time I went to the hairdressers.
No, I haven't been for a whole year. I've been cutting my hair myself.
That's fine.
And they... Yes, it is fine.
Gina had cut my hair.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
When she's drunk.
Yeah, but Gina's very talented.
She's not at hair cutting. She's never done it before.
But she did that balayage on you one time in the bath, remember?
That was good.
Yeah, she's really
she
efficient,
talented,
Gina.
Yeah.
No, I've just been sort of doing it myself and getting away with it.
Mm.
Because I think if you don't have like a bob or a cool style, you absolutely can just...
Yeah.
Have a go.
Have at it.
Anyway, I not only went to the hairdressers, I booked an appointment because I never do that. Normally it's just raining and I'm walking down the street and I'm like, walking to this hairdresser's.
Mm.
I went to my appointment like a real grown-up. I had the patch test because normally I just lie when they say,
yes,
have you been here before? I'm like, yes.
And then you slowly blow up.
Yeah, yeah. They, exactly. They say, who did it before? And I say like, John. And
Matt.
Then Matt and John.
They work as a team.
Last time we went to the hairdressers, actually, I didn't have my hair cut, but we did go that time at Christmas. Remember when we went to
a Christmas party?
We took ourselves for a Christmas party to this hairdresser's called Blade in Soho, and they've made a thing called hair clubbing.
We
had cocktails and we had blow dries.
I had curly hair at the end.
And we
of
had
it.
Curly hair, and we just walked down the street shaking our
shaking
hair.
Shaking it.
And then we had to go to a meeting afterwards and drunk, and we
looked so good.
And we looked so good, and we really were like, this is how we look all the time.
It's not.
Yeah, we had a really lovely time.
Yeah, go so, hair clubbing. It's
go
really
hair
fun.
Clubbing. It's called Blade in Soho. It was so fun, and they give you a cocktail. Can you tell my hair?
Yes, it looks great.
It doesn't look any different.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't look any different.
You would never know.
But that's good, because I think if you'd done something weird with it, I would be like, okay. Whereas it just looks like Tessa's hair. So that's good.
Exactly
that's good.
Right.
That's what you need. My adult thing backfired in my face. Pretty much like the bean burgers last week. I wanted to go dancing in the club.
In the club.
In the club.
What kind of dancing?
The night was called Ladies of Your Man at Home. That was the night.
Wow. Yes. How did you know you read it like that when you saw because it written down?
Because it had a picture of Jesse's child above it.
Ooh, I've got a tingle in my spine.
Yes,
do it
right.
Again.
Ladies of Your Man at Home. Ooh. The club was full of... Anyway. And it was all that sort of music. I was so excited. So me and my sister used to live together and now we don't. And so we've got this thing like every quarter where we like... dress up and go out. And I turned up to the flat and I was wearing like jeans and stuff. And she was like, no. And then put like a silk dress on me. And I was like, okay. And we had some gins, watched Beyonce at the Billboards from 2011, cried, then went to this night. I'd actually like pre-bought tickets, £5. We got there. It's raining. There's a huge queue. I'm like, it's all right, because I've bought tickets. Apparently the queue was tickets and non-tickets. So we had to wait outside for 45 minutes. I was like, this is where adulting is tricky.
That is the thing. When you have planned ahead
and you still,
and
get, burned,
still get burned.
So I'm like, well, like, now next time I'm not going to buy tickets. And that's awful because I should.
It's infuriating, isn't it? It's absolutely infuriating.
Because I once read this advert and I can't remember what it was selling. And it just said, the world belongs to those who check. And I was like, oh, it does. And I never check anything. I'm always like, yeah, I presume that's fine. And this was a time I didn't. My adult thing is I'm not going to let that stop me booking ahead next time. I will continue to try and be as planned as possible. I hate waiting to get in to dance somewhere.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Was it a good night?
It was astonishing.
I bet.
It was astounding.
Banger after banger.
Consistent onslaught of bangers.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a good thing. And also so nice to go to those things. I've never ever planned to go to a night and gone to
me neither. And I just do now because I'm old.
We should do more of it though, because there are cool nights and things to do. Somebody told me that every quart, five of them friends, go on a fake hen do. They pick somebody who's the bride.
Oh my God, they get dressed. I'm dead. That's an incredible idea.
They get dressed up. They like call ahead to clubs and say like, we're coming. Sharon's getting married. We're coming.
Because they get free drinks.
Yeah. They get like, and obviously like, they do pay to get in and whatever, but like there's free drinks. There's like, everyone wants to talk to them because they're a hen do. Like they're just like, so they have the time of their lives and they do that once every 6 months and they take turns being the bride. I was like, that is absolutely genius, because an actual hen do is so, it's full of like different groups, different friends.
You don't really want to talk
somebody's
to.
Mother, the mother-in-law is there. Like it's all, everyone's trying to keep things fun. Actually, it's fun. Yeah. And you know, it can be really stressful, but just going as a group, you know, you or a gang.
The people you'd actually want to go on your hen do.
On your actual hen do. And also, crucially, it's pretend.
Yeah, so you don't have any like wedding stress. Like, I can't buy anything because the wedding's so expensive.
Yeah. You haven't been like, yeah. But in your mind, you'd be like, the flowers!
Because, no.
Because the wedding's coming up. Yeah, it's such a brilliant idea.
That's wonderful.
So go on more planned activities with your pals.
With your pals. So this podcast episode is about how to be a good intern.
Yes.
How to be a good work experiencer. Because, good Lord, me and Tessa have done it at enough places and been quite bad and then also all right and then got better at it to the point where we got jobs. So surely we have some words of wisdom. And if not, you can just learn from our mistakes. I asked people on Twitter what the most embarrassing thing they've done on work experience was. And we got some absolute crackers. Like, it's so great as well, because everyone here is now has a job and is successful, and it just shows that we're all humans and we all make stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's the worst, the thought of that on your work experience, making a mistake, that's, you're just terrified. You don't want to speak in case you sound silly. Like,
yeah, I'm sure it's out there, but I would read a book called This One Time that was just famous people telling little short stories about dreadful things they've done.
Great.
Because if you are having a tough old time, go and read somebody's autobiography and just read the first couple of chapters.
Yeah, and then not the bit that gets successful.
And then forget. No. Like, you don't want to
read it. Save it for later when you're successful.
Save it for later when you're like, oh, yes, I can imagine that Hollywood party. Yeah. But like, read about the terrible jobs.
Yeah, like Chris Pratt sleeping in his car.
Yeah, read about that. Stuff. Read about Tom Hardy's MySpace and, you know, like, read about the
Steve Jobs when he was like, I think he's always been quite successful, hasn't he?
Don't read about Steve Jobs.
I don't know, actually. I don't know enough about Steve Jobs. I don't know why I brought him up.
I've watched the film and very much enjoyed it.
The Steve Jobs film.
Michael Fassbender, not Ashton Kutcher.
I didn't even know he played Steve Jobs. Oh, poor Ashton Kutcher being like, can you imagine like, oh, I'm going to play Steve Jobs and then Michael Fassbender plays Steve Jobs.
But also it's in an amazing film. It's really well made. Even if you're like, well, I don't care, which I don't. But it's really, really good film.
But I bet he's made some clangers. So have you ever done anything embarrassing in work experience?
Yes, of course I have.
Do you have any you'd like to share?
Yes, I'll share them. I did various different internships in various different industries, was chronically hopeless at all of them because I didn't understand what we were doing. Right. I just couldn't grasp the job. I never asked any questions out loud. I was just in my head being like, what are we all doing?
Right, oh, I see, okay.
So I couldn't understand things, especially if you work in an industry that's like relatively creative and involves like a level of like pitching or thing. So you're like working on a project that may not happen.
Yeah.
That to me was like really tricky to get my head around and to understand what we would do. I just didn't understand anything. Mm. No one explained anything to me.
Well, people don't. They just go like, oh, hi. Okay, and you spend like the first 4 hours getting a fucking login and then they're like, okay. You're like, and now what?
And now what?
And I can't check my emails because I don't have an email here.
Yeah, like, I don't know what I'm doing.
And then you just have to be in that horrible position of just hoping people give you work.
Yeah, it's dreadful, which we will return to.
Oh, yes.
I worked for 6 months for a company where we made TVCs, and I did not know what TVC stood for until I left.
What was it?
Television commercial. I once attached a document to a client and I instead attached a picture of a moose. It was just on my desktop, but it was on the company desktop. So I'd obviously been like Googling moose. They found things I'd been making on Paint. Well, I am actually, I'd forgotten how good I am. I'm phenomenal at Paint.
I don't doubt that.
In my like pre-Photoshop days.
Mm.
And I remember making the mistake of showing somebody I worked with who I thought would like be on board, and they were so not on board.
What are this? How? They were just like, shows you your pet, someone's paint thing?
Well, because it was obvious that I'd made it at work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I thought they'd be like, haha, yeah, we're all doing that. Oh. You know, but they, no.
They weren't, no.
I was actually got it more together and like was being a bit more efficient at my job. There was like a sort of boss guy who didn't know my name or whatever, but like was there. And it was quite a small-ish office. And I left for the day, coat on, it was the winter, took an apple from the like fruit bowl on my way out because I was very poor and hungry.
Yeah.
Took my apple for the journey home. And I was wearing that fur coat of mine that like buttons to the chin.
I know.
You know the one.
Yeah.
It's black. It looks very old-fashioned. And I walked down to flights of stairs and then suddenly thought, oh, I'll go to the loo. And instead of walking back up, I just went to the loo on that floor, didn't lock the door, and I was sat in my coat with the apple in the resting in the palm of my hand, just looking straight ahead on the toilet, but thinking about my day, like just thinking about how tired I was. Like I just was in this, I remember even thinking like, what a funny position I'm sat in, staring dead ahead. And also it was winter, so my hair was up in a bun and I'm ghostly white.
Mm.
And then the top boss walks in. We make eye contact for so long. Neither of us, I can't articulate like how bad, but also he can tell he's so shocked by the coat, the apple, like the whole thing is not just like he's walked into someone on the loo. He's like, why are you here on this floor? You've gone actively to this floor to go and like hold this apple in the toilet. Like it looked so insane. And then neither of us spoke. And then he just left. And then we never spoke again. And then he never even like could look me in the eye or come in the same room. I just recall so vividly what it was to be the bottom of the ladder and to never know.
You don't have any like cachet. People make mistakes all the time at work. If you were the head creative or the head something and that happened, you'd be like, oh God, John, oh, I've got my coat on my apple. Or you'd make it into a thing.
Exactly.
Whereas when you're the work experience, you can never make anything into a thing.
Yeah.
So Rhiannon Derbyshire says, I once sliced my hand open with a Stanley knife while cutting out magazine proofs. Was so shy, I quietly bled all the way to the bathroom and left a trail of bloodstains that stayed in the carpet. It's okay. I'll just bleed.
Yeah, I
prefer to bleed than tell someone and ask someone
to be a bother. Yeah.
My first work experience was at a very big, arguably the biggest broadsheet, like magazine supplement. And it was like a dream to work there. I'm from the north and I'd come and stayed in London specifically. I'd never really been to London before as well. So I was just terrified. And got there and they clearly had just this like roster of consistent work experience. It was just like, who's the one today? Okay. They double booked us. So there was this other girl there as well.
Oh,
and
God.
It was like, both of us were like, well, I guess it's fight to the death. But it wasn't really fine that she'd done a journalism course and I hadn't. So they just gave her everything. And I sat there doing absolutely nothing for an entire week. I would go up and be like, do you have any work? And they'd be like, oh. And then you feel like you're being an issue.
Yeah. Oh, it's the worst.
Because you're like, I know it's annoying and I know you want to do your job and you don't need to like, because actually technically thinking up that stuff for me is like an extra job. So why am I not helpful? But so after like 3 days of doing that, I was like, I just didn't know what to do. Like, I couldn't go on the internet and just like mess about because there were people behind me that could see. So I just had to just type things. And I remember being completely like brain dead
when
by the end of the
day. When you
get
a computer that is backs to the wall,
it's
you're
a joy.
Like, my hey ho. I've hit, yes, I am at peak. This is Nirvana. We're away.
Then you find out that they can look at all the stuff that you're browsing on.
But like, if they take the time to go and look up what you're doing.
Yeah, they never will. Because they don't care about the work experience often, which is a horrible thing. But that's that feeling that you're feeling of like, oh, I feel really, it's like, yeah, it's because they don't know what they want from you. We've got so many experiences and we're going to talk about loads of things that have happened on work experience. Because that's why like, that's the problem. That's the first thing to you need to realize is that everyone feels like that.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's like, oh, work, the job, the office. What? Like, even if it's a really practical, hands-on thing, the first couple of days are going to be terrifying.
Terrifying.
And that's okay because no one's expecting you to come in and be like, get that off my desk by 6 p.m., Jill. Like, no one wants you to do that. Your job is to just be there, to be like, to be on time, to be presentable, and to ask to see if you can help, be friendly, and then unfortunately just sort of like take whatever they give you. And if they don't give you stuff, you can't really complain, which is the horrible thing. But you just have to like just get through it.
Yeah.
I think just get through it.
Get through it. I think there really is no answer or solution. Mm. And so I think the main thing is to accept. I think that's a big part of it, is that you go in being like, okay, what's needed from me? And the answer is nothing.
Nothing is needed.
And so you constantly feel like you're failing because you're like, this can't be right. Like, this can't be it.
It is right.
But that is it.
That is right.
Just and actually, sometimes for 8 hours.
Be hot for 8 hours and then incredibly bored for the next 6 days.
Yeah.
That's kind of a. But also, I've had other work experience placements that have been really hands-on.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying, but the days go really quickly. You feel so much happier.
Oh my goodness,
because you're like, oh, this is what the world is like, and they are wonderful. And then the same with both of those is that you either or, you just have to turn up on time and you have to just do your best. And it is just about doing your best and being like, I think people get very, I remember getting very, very stressed and like wanting to be like work mode, and you're like, yes, be professional, but don't worry about having a chat to someone in a normal way, because they're not weird robots.
Yeah,
they're like fully normal people as well. I've been in offices where we've had work experience, and the most successful ones are the ones who have sort of chatted. Very unsuccessful ones are the ones who have been incredibly rude and like over the top, like, this is me, and arrogant.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Like, it's not impressing anybody. They're like, equally unsuccessful is people that don't say anything. Thankfully, in the office that I was at, I was in charge of the work experience, so I gave them loads of stuff to do. So they'd be silent, and then I could see that they're an excellent writer, or they weren't. But the thing is, if I wasn't giving them work and they were just fully silent, then you're just anonymous. And I guess that's better than, like, you know, doing something horrific and never being able to live it down. But you're not going to do anything that horrific.
Yeah.
You are just, the absolute worst case scenario is it's going to be anonymous and it's not going to lead to a job. Yeah.
And I think if you are somebody who is looking after interns, or is somebody in the office where you have interns come, if you're not one yourself, but you have work experience people coming in, I know sometimes you're like, oh God, like, they are actually,
think of things to do.
They're a hindrance because I'm not giving them anything important to do. They aren't, it's impossible for me to give this person who's only here for 5 days to understand what it is I need from them.
Yeah.
Because often people arrive being like, how can I help? And you're like, ah, unless you can get into my brain. And,
you can't.
And come and know. And
answer all my emails and like, no.
No, you literally can't help me. So I think just take that time to be like, but what job can they do? Actual useful stuff, and or like bulk work that you're like, oh, I do wish I, you know, I don't have the time to do this. So just take 20 minutes to like really think of what would be useful.
And on the other hand, when you are on work experience and you do get like a job, when you get asked to do something and you get so like, oh God, that you don't listen to a thing, or you forget the exact thing that they said, or you're like, what is that? Ask the question. Go, sorry, I'm not quite sure. Can you explain to me what that is? No one is going to be like, you idiot.
You're so deep into like the work speak with your colleagues that it doesn't ever occur to you to like what that sounds like to an outside person.
Oh, can you go in the back of Magneto and just edit a few shads?
Because, for them,
what?
Magneto is a word that they... It's actually harder for them to be like, hang on, what do people call Magneto?
Oh, yes. Because, or Slack. Like, Slack is that WhatsApp in offices. So they're like, oh, just like Slack me. And you're like, what does Slack
what
me
does
mean?
That mean?
The
just
most
say
important thing.
In a nice, polite, non-like, because it makes you want to be like, I don't know what
Don't go, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm
just
don't
say,
do that.
Just say like, absolutely, so sorry. Can you just walk me through that?
Yes, perfect. Like everything, you're blagging. Just say it in a really assertive way.
Yeah. And everyone will be like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. It's the message system. Know. Like, of course you wouldn't know that.
Because they, like, they should not be saying those things to you because you don't know.
Yeah. This is the very, yeah, just put your bar slightly lower for interning. Like, this is all that's demanded of you. Be on time. Look reasonable.
Yeah, I'd say look reasonable.
If you can.
Yeah.
Be dressed.
Yeah.
You're on time. You're dressed. Nice and smiley.
Mm.
Try and be helpful if you can. Yeah, just accepting that you are never going to be, you're just working on it. Yeah. Slowly, and don't expect to be amazing at it immediately.
I had so many heartbreaking things where, like, I did my journalism MA and then I would have an internship for like a month. I mean, there's a specific one that I remember. I interned for 2 months at a magazine and I was paid very little. And I was had a bar job in the evening, so I was like absolutely knackered. And then at the end, I was like, well, this is going well. Like, I'm doing all the things they're asking me. I'd also done quite a few work experience things before. Yep. So I was like, I know what an office feels like. I'm not completely freaked out. They'd asked me to stay on for the month and I had, and like I was like, well, hang on, what's going on? And then I went back in to pick up some things and they were like, oh, this is Rachel, so she's doing that job that you were interning for. I was 24 and had just done the most expensive MA of my life and a year of interning. Rachel was 18 and had just come out of school and was the daughter of someone in the company, and I just could not stop crying. I was like, this is not fair. And it's like, that's unfortunately what you're entering into now, is this contract of like, well, hang on, I need something from this. You're just getting experience of being in an office. Obviously, you know, the goal is to get hired, but don't feel that the goal is to get hired from that particular placement always.
Yes.
And be very prepared for that not to happen and to be able to tell yourself, it's okay.
This is another,
get another one.
This is just a stepping stone on the way somewhere, because I can't tell you how many jobs I've applied for that were already taken by somebody's child.
Yes. Weirdly, my grandma got
it. Yeah, grandma got it, unfortunately.
Now, we are being quite down. I've got my, like, radar being like, boo, boo, if like we're being quite down on work experience. However, it's a really good way of just seeing what an office is like before you get a job, and then you're literally being paid to do the thing, and then it's then it's terrifying. So this is the time when you should be making mistakes. Let's lift us up again.
Lift you up and just accept that, like, you will make mistakes, you will be bad at it. Just accept that this is one, no, none of these people stayed at the job they went that they did these mistakes at. They went on to much greater, better, brilliant things somewhere else. So
it's
just
work experience.
Exactly. Just hang
it's an
in
experience.
There, take that experience, baby. Here it comes.
So Dolly Alderton says, I worked at Take a Break magazine, calling in and reviewing ready meals. I stuffed them all in the fridge before the weekend and the door didn't close properly. Came back on Monday to find the whole giant fridge empty and professional cleaners fumigating the kitchen. Now, Nat Lertzema has an absolutely excellent one. I once took literally an overheard conversation about the CEO. Yeah, he's basically dead in the water, Giles. Told everyone who called that the CEO was dead. The CEO then came out of his office to tell me I'd made his wife cry.
No!
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God.
This is some serious stuff. This is my personal favourite. One time I accidentally dropped my notepad on a US senator from the press gallery.
Oh my God!
Imagine you're watching your notepad fall onto a man's head. I just think it's great. Now, and I need to say beforehand that nothing was harmed in this story. A Virgin technician, when he was fitting a box on his first day, he drilled into the wall in order to put a cable through when he heard a yelp and had drilled into the dog. The dog was okay, but he had drilled into it. That was at Jeffrey Reed's.
Oh my God, my mum once had to sit with an AA man who cried in the back of her car. She had broken down, called the AA. A kid had arrived on his first day, not had the things, got so cross, thrown the spanner, like kicked my mum's tire and thrown the spanner, and then gone and like gone to the back of his car. And my mum, I guess because she has her own teenage children who, you know, who could imagine what that was like for them to go through, went and gave him a hug and he sat with her in the back of the car while he cried. And she was like, you can't do that, okay? someone could just complain to the AA, you know, you've got to be the knight in shining armor, okay? You've got to show up.
Even if you don't have your things.
Even if you don't have the right things, you've got to be brave for me, okay? Because I'm the one that's called you. And
that's
to
so
give
fun.
Them hugs.
See, you do, you have to give people hugs.
You have to.
I'm going to say my one now, yeah. Which is really bad.
Okay.
Oh, so I was on, training as a journalist, and we did a day in the coronary court, which is where people go when someone has died and to determine the cause of death. So I was writing and, you know, one of the things was obviously turn your phone off. Like, obviously. So I did. I turned my phone off and I went in. Some of them were just really just get in, get out. Grandma's dead. Leave. One of them was incredibly emotional. A son had died and they were hoping to get it through to an upper court, and I mean, you can see how I'm talking about this. I never went back to coronary court reporting. Yep. To an upper court. Mm-hmm. They were told that that wasn't going to happen. The parents are crying. My phone was one of the phones that when an alarm came on, it turned the phone on. So my alarm starts going just as the mum is crying, and my housemates had changed my alarm to be porn sounds. So in a coronary court, while the parents are crying, there is porn sounds very loudly from my phone.
No.
I had to leave the court and I obviously got a zero for the day immediately. I couldn't go back to uni that day, obviously. And that's like the worst thing happened to me.
Oh my God.
I can still see.
I
can still see.
You're having a very physical reaction.
Me going through the bag and it's going, and people crying about their dead son.
Oh my God.
So, we'll just go through some like uplifting ones so I don't have a meltdown.
Yeah, back up.
So Hannah Lee Pryor has got a couple of really nice ones. My boss asked me to order him a desk plan for the next day, a giant tree turned up at the door. Which I think is amazing. Because that's that thing where it's like, now that's just funny. But at the time, imagine the mortification.
Oh my goodness, I've got another hot one.
Yeah.
Was asked to do a food delivery for a whole shoot that was taking place, a cooking program, the which like an entire crew of 20 people were there needed to be there, and there was only this one day, and I had to do this huge food order. I had done it so well, like yes. I spent my whole day doing it. Then it had to do this like there was a second level at the checkout that you had to do. And the lady who'd shown me how to do it was like, okay, so like you put your things in the basket, and what she'd put in was just two very expensive bottles of champagne just to show me how to do it. Then no. She was like, then you just... No. And then I'd taken those out, put everything in. I checked it ruthlessly, had not done the final checkout. So at 8 a.m. for the film crew, two bottles of Dom Perignon showed up and absolutely nothing else. And it was like, as I said, I remember them. I was like so chuffed, and I left on the Friday being like, I've smashed my job. I've done it. And then Saturday morning, 8:20,
text. Do you
text,
get the feeling
being
where...
Like, hey, do you remember what happened there? Like, you know, just like this, hey. And as soon as I saw the hey from the person I like knew had gone, I knew immediately yes. before I'd even opened the message what had gone wrong. I feel hot.
Do you get like...
I'm dripping in sweat.
I get like, I go fully cold. I have cold when that happens. Yeah. And like, I can't feel my arms.
Yeah,
that's
it's
what I
just
feel.
Like, it's horror.
It's like your arse has fallen off as well.
Do you know what I think that is? It's like a
dying. Immediate,
yes, it's dying. No, it's like that immediate panic, fight or flight, to which your brain and your body are trying to be like, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need?
And there's nothing you can do.
But while you're trying to think of what, well, obviously there's nothing to do. But in that, when those things happen, your body takes all the blood away from places that aren't necessary to send it straight to your brain.
Right.
To be like, we're all here helping. So that feeling out of your arms is literally blood coming out.
And your ass dropping off.
Your ass is like, we don't need your...
You don't need your
ass
anymore.
That butterflies in your tummy is like blood out of the stomach. Be like, digestion's not crucial here.
Yeah, shut that
down. You need
to
get those Dom Perignons out of the... Obviously, like it's like, what can we do? What can we do? And so all the blood is running there, which is why your whole body feels cold
there
and light.
One that came in, which is very similar in terms of that, which might make you feel better, was actually your friend Lucy Hancock.
Hello, Lucy
Hancock. Lucy says, I messed up the lines on a spreadsheet and sent fleets of journalists to a full day of different press days at the wrong address and the wrong time.
Oh, God.
And it's that thing where it's like, that is when you're doing work experience, you don't expect, like, as we've said quite a lot earlier, you don't expect to be doing things that are actually like fully important.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, just get there, show up.
Yeah.
But then you're given something. And then that's why when the person is talking to you, giving you the instructions, I remember in my head just being like, oh God, don't get this wrong. And like, well, no, I didn't hear it because I was too busy screaming.
Yeah.
And then when you do it properly, when it goes wrong, it
my
does
heart
feel like
is pounding.
Yeah, it's terrifying. But the thing is that that's why these like experiences that have come in are so excellent, because it's just saying to you over and over again, whatever has happened on your work experience, it's fine. Someone has done it worse.
Yeah.
And it's fine. And also someone will do it next week and they get paid to do it. So yeah. Like, they have no excuse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas you have all of the excuses. There's a really nice one that Bella Younger has said. When I was at the BBC doing work experience, a producer asked me if I was around that weekend and if I could shoot. I said, yes, my dad has an estate in Scotland. He said, I meant, can you use a camera? Which is double burn, because it's like, oh, I've just told you how rich I am.
That's so great.
It's excellent.
That is so great.
And then this one, which makes me go so hot. This is Theodora Laloudis, and I'm so sorry if I've mispronounced that. Last day of Fashion Mag internship, they gave me a Gucci box as a thank you. Got really emotional. Told them it was the best internship ever. And wow, that's so generous. I never owned anything from Gucci. Opened it. It was an H&M ring. Had to backtrack, like I knew it was a joke. Can you imagine everyone's looking at you? Because everyone goes like, ah, oh, and then you're like, I love Gucci, ah! Like the thought of just having to, and everyone knows that you're, I'm so hot. Okay, so also what I didn't do was Hannah Lee Pryor, the giant tree girl, yeah, beforehand, also said she once signed off a phone call to a guy from JP Morgan with, love you, bye. I mean, I've called so many people dad, like so many people dad or mum. Oh God, yes. Someone was on like PR work experience, so doing like events. Mm. The girls sent them with like the clipboards, and she refused an old, disheveled looking guy entry to a rock and roll exhibition that the company were PRing, as his name wasn't on the list and it was Jimmy Page. And then she said that he was all right about it, but the boss like ran over and like knocked the clipboard out of her hand and threw her to the floor. Was like, please come in. But that thing as well, I remember going to like events and being like, I don't know the celebrity I'm supposed to be, yes, interviewing. I don't know. Or like going to like a launch of some boots or something, and then being like, I turn up on my own. That's the first rule. Don't go on your own. But I'd be like, well, I don't know anyone here, and I don't know what the boots are, and what am I supposed to do here? And that horrible, and then refusing entry to someone massive is just so great.
Conversely, though, I have in later years gone to things that I'm definitely not invited to, and just smiled so confidently, but with a slight edge in my eyes, like, oh, it's not worth your job to not let me in, because that's, I know what it's like to hold that clipboard and to be like, lovely, please come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please, because you don't know who anyone is. So you're like, if people smile confidently, you're like, I assume that you're my boss. Please enter the room.
Yes,
like,
yes.
You know, so I have dined out on that.
Yeah, fair enough, because I think everyone's doing it.
They're like, okay, I'll just write your name down on the bottom.
Yes, yes,
I
love that.
Please come in, enjoy it, get a drink. And I'm like, I will.
Another one I really like is at Shockproof Beats. Great Twitter handle, says, while interning at a radio station, I applied for a permanent job there, stressing my impeccable proofreading skills, but I misspelled proofreading and spelt it poofreading. Like, brilliant. Like,
incredible. Hopefully they thought it was a gag.
Yeah, maybe they thought it was a joke. He doesn't actually say whether he got the job.
I was about somewhere. There was a very, very good-looking guy called Max who had a baby.
I worked there as well, and I spent the whole time opposite him being hearing about this sexy man, and I literally didn't even notice him.
Oh, he probably was wearing the wrong trousers.
Probably.
But he has this baby, extraordinarily beautiful baby.
An ugly
who wore
baby.
No,
I'm joking.
Shut
I'm
your
joking.
Mouth.
He wore this, like, it's a lovely baby.
Who wore these Oshkosh dungarees. Like, he was just adorable. Yeah. And he was once on the phone, like doing some kind of cool, you can't see me, everyone, but I've got the phone between my ear and my head. And I'm closing a deal with Japan.
Of course.
I've also got my Oshkosh.
It was
baby.
A food blog.
It's a food blog. He was closing an important deal. And I'm also got my Oshkosh baby on one hand doing, like, the baby's looking adorable. He's like doing it up and down, like this, like, ultimate sort of fathering. Like, yes. He just looks like the most.
Whenever a dad is a dad, everyone's like, oh, he's a dad.
Right? Yeah. People lose their minds. I sent a GIF to aforementioned Lucy Hancock of that one, which I think is Farrell.
She's Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell.
Eyebrows?
No, he's turning around and a car explodes behind him.
Colin Farrell's got big eyebrows.
Oh, right.
That's
cool,
how
cool,
you
cool.
know
Could be. Yeah, I think it's him. He's wearing a suit. He turns around, presses a button, and a car explodes. And then the GIF says, ovaries. It's your ovaries exploding.
Oh, your ovaries exploding. Okay, and then you sent that to
everybody
Matt.
In the office.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, including Max. thanks.
Yeah. Did you pass it off as a joke? Like,
I did my best. I did my sweet best.
Okay. Okay, it's a very
because
small
luckily,
office as well.
The focus was pulled by the baby, so people could give me the benefit of the doubt.
That it was about the baby, not the man.
It was about the arms. It was about the arms.
Thank God you hadn't gone really in depth. That would have been terrifying.
Every day I wake up
being thankful I didn't go more in depth.
I literally do think, like, thank God I did not say, look at Max's arms or in any way, because it was just nothing in the email body, not even the subject header, nothing. And I'm thankful for that every day.
So blessed. Now, I think that's really, like, pushed us into a good space with work experience.
Okay.
That it doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter as much as you think it does.
No.
I think if you feel bad, if you're doing a work experience thing and you feel like you're kind of, you know, sucking basically, and like I think you should definitely just get in touch with any friends who've done work experience before, other friends who are doing work experience, email them, like just chat, and so you're not alone in it.
My friend
and
Angus,
make tea.
I was thinking, don't surround yourself by friends who've walked straight into a internship
job
at the bank.
Yeah. But the thing as well, like the like making tea cliche, is actually a very good way to do it, because if you say, oh, does anyone want tea, you immediately have to speak to them.
Yep.
You immediately have to get how they like their tea. Then it's obviously terrifying and hot, because then you're like, what if I get the wrong tea?
Yeah.
Then if you get the wrong tea, no one cares. You'll just go and remake it. It's fine. But like, it's just a nice way of having to visit people's desks.
Yeah.
And
you get up,
oh,
you move about.
What is it that you do or whatever? And the thing that you said before about not asking questions, just have some questions to ask before you go, because it will make you feel better.
Yep.
Like, no one cares if you do or don't ask questions, but like, you'll care and you'll leave going, no, I was stupid, I didn't ask any questions, I didn't have any questions. Like, just literally asking people about their jobs. Like, oh, so how long have you been working
nice
here?
Or
like,
yeah.
I literally thought that they were like gods because they'd managed to get a job. And I was like, well, you must be doing something so incredible. And this is this whole world that I'll go into different offices every week, and I'd have no problem going into a new office now. It was like my worst nightmare for years.
Because you realise...
It doesn't have to be.
Eventually it will happen to you that you realise that people aren't gods. They aren't these amazing grown-ups.
They'll forget your login.
They are also just idiots. Are we ready to tell the story?
Yes. I think, well, I mean, it was all over the news, so I feel like people will have heard it.
I didn't hear it on the news.
Yes, it was everywhere when it happened. But it doesn't matter. We will tell it, because now we've come to the end of our work experience podcast, and we'd like to
offer you the job.
We'd like to offer you the job. but it's not about that. It's about experience. So we're going to tell you...
They're not
going
to offer you the job, guys, just to be clear.
The worst work experience story. Imagine if she listens. And if you are listening, whoever did this...
There's no way...
You are excellent, and
oh
keep
my God,
going.
We feel you so hard. I think people, we want to tell this story.
Not because it's funny.
No, it's because
it's awful.
It speaks to me so hard. And I'm so sorry that you went through it. But it has, honestly, I have clung to it in the darkest times.
Same. And I think we should all cling to it. And we should all feel the correct amount of like, our pity is the wrong word, but it really is.
It's not pity, it's empathy. It's like the deepest.
That's so empathy.
It's like you feel it as though it happened to you. I hope she's somewhere
it
incredible.
It would have put me off.
I hope she's let it go. She's moved on. I hope all of those things.
So, do you want to say it? Yeah.
Should we tell it in tandem?
I guess so.
Not like one, just like, just together.
Yes, sure.
Not would really.
I mean, do it all along at the same time. So yeah. I think that'll actually undermine
if
that.
If anything,
like,
that'll be a difficult story to tell. So, a girl is on work experience.
We can't mention the magazine, but it's a very, it's the posh one.
Just a big posh
magazine
house. Imagine
the poshest one.
Like, it's a thick, big one, like where Meryl Streep.
A thick, big one.
Meryl Streepy, you know.
Yes.
It's the Devil Wears
Prada.
It's the big deal. It's a big fashion house. You're nodding, Tom?
It's not the fashion one, it's the posh one.
Oh, so sorry, it's the posh one.
That rhymes with
no,
that.
Stop it, stop it. It's a big posh fashion house. It's full of like really trendy girls. It's full of that
terrifying.
Emily Blunt, like really, they are, but they're living, breathing
I've
the magazines.
I've never been there because I'm too terrified.
No.
And also they've not asked me.
Of course. Okay.
So I was on work experience when this happened.
Were you?
I think, or I was at a job, either one. And it happened and it unfolded on Twitter. And the work experience girl, as part of her job, was tasked with every day taking the dog, Alan, out for a walk on the break. And it was a much-loved dog that was featured in the magazine a lot, featured in the social media. It was had a lot of followers. It was a real, like, almost like a mascot
very much
of the posh magazine. Tessa, would you like to take it
so,
from here?
So, Alan is so deeply loved and...
cute.
And so cute. And what kind of dog is he?
I think he's a sausage dog.
He's a little tiny sausage dog.
I feel like he's a sausage dog.
He's a little tiny sausage dog. He's adorable. He's much loved. And this girl has got this taking him for a walk job.
Yes.
And so here she has something concrete in her day that she does, and she takes the time and she, you know, she gets to do this job.
And she does it.
And on this particular day, she leaves with Alan on the lead, walks out of the magazine building.
Wow.
Through the revolving doors, with Alan behind her on the lead. And Alan's head comes off in the revolving door.
Alan is decapitated.
Alan is decapitated in the revolving door.
No, it's awful. And I'm laughing because of how awful it is. Also, I think there's a lot of rumour about whether it was fully decapitated, whether he was decapitated. Yep. He certainly died, and it was certainly because his head got trapped in the door.
She's killed the office dog
of one of the biggest magazines on the planet. Potentially one of the biggest, most loved dogs on the planet.
But she's holding a lead
with half a dog on it. And it unfurled on Twitter because it was like, I remember just seeing the timeline being like, stuff happening at house. What's happening? Something awful's happened. What's happening? Oh, the dog's died. What's that? And then basically about an hour later, it was like, it was the work experience. And everyone was like, no! And it gives me chills. So if you are at your work experience placement, that categorically hasn't happened, and we can all take heart in that story.
And you are going to go on. You didn't do that.
No,
you are doing your best.
Even if you do that,
and even
it'll
if you
be
do
okay.
that, it's going to be okay. You are going to go on to do such great things in a way that you, like the Baz Luhrmann song, cannot even fathom. Yet.
Wear sunscreen,
guys, for God's sake. But you just cannot fathom yet. And take heart, even when it feels like at your lowest, that like you are going to go on to do good things. You just don't know what they are yet. Just hang on
and
in
have
there.
A look at my thread on Twitter, because it is excellent. I couldn't read all of them out, but it's at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
End by telling them what happened to that girl at one of the other magazines where everyone was really horrible to her
another fashion magazine, and I have no problem saying it wasn't a nice environment, very toxic, and the work experience girl would get the coffees every day, and they weren't horrible to her, they were dismissive. It was like she didn't exist and was an annoying bug in their hair. She'd get their coffee orders. Their coffee orders were like, I mean, these girls would eat like a boiled egg for lunch. Their coffee orders was like skinny, non-fat, light soy milk, no coffee. Calories are like the devil here.
And they had really strung her along with this, like, there's going to be a job, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, she'd been working there for months, unpaid. And she
with this constant promise.
Being like, by the way, if you stay, like, so she was putting up with all of this stuff. She was just like, there was an editorial assistant job that was open and no one was doing that job. She was just work experiencing and filling in for that job. So then she found out on her last day that she was being let go because her job had been filled by a rich girl who had just come out of school and had a connection with the company. She got them their coffee, as always, and then left and said, by the way, all of your coffee every day has been full fat milk. And it was amazing. And I think that
mic
is...
Mic drop. Set the place on fire.
Coffee drop. That was a long time ago, that. Yeah, that was amazing.
Right?
You don't have to do that and be that bold, but just think it in your head.
I'm great and you're all awful. No matter how bad they are to you, you're going to get out of there and you're going to go on to great things.
You really are. It's just an experience. It's not... No one's expecting anything. Just try and enjoy it. Don't worry. Make tea if you can. Have a chat with people at the water
Learn
cooler.
Learn to touch type if you've got a computer with the back.
If you've got a computer.
And then it looks like you're doing loads of things. Teach yourself touch type. That's what I did.
If you make a mistake, it's not
Learn,
the end of the world.
Learn anything you've got on there, like PowerPoint or Excel.
Yeah, fiddle around with it.
Fiddle around with learning those things on the computer. And then next time they say, like, are you Excel proficient? You could be like, yeah.
Yeah, I know what it is. Sure.
I literally worked for a week where they gave me nothing to do, so I taught myself Excel. Like,
yeah.
Learn to do those things.
Yeah.
Become less afraid of it. And if you've got an intern in your office, do your best to look after them.
Be nice to them, because it's hard.
It is hard.
But yeah, you can do it, guys. So get in touch with us or via email. So Twitter is at Stevie M, the S is a 5.
At Tessa Coates. Just all letters that I taught myself on Excel.
email. If you've taught yourself to do email, email us. Podcast@thedebrief.co.uk.
Get the Microsoft Outlook and CC everyone in the office.
Everyone.
And tell them that you're having such a bad time.
Yes, please do. Podcast@thedebrief.co.uk. See you next week. Stay classy, guys.
Stay classy and hang in there.
Hang in there. Bye.
Bye.